Just before I get, I weren't going to do this, but I just feel like I need to. Before I get into what I'm going to do this morning, I just want to bring a word of encouragement. So this month, I celebrate 14 years of being a CAP Centre manager, which is a long time to be doing something like that. We've had a centre 16 years, and the service has drastically changed from when I first started. And for the first time this year, I actually questioned whether we should carry on doing CAP, because I felt like we wasn't journeying with the clients like we used to do. But this morning, we've been singing about shining God's light, like God's light shining, about his love. And you know, God does shine his light, but he shines it through us. We are his hands and feet. And this scripture I'm going to share with you now, you all know it. Most of you will know it. It's not anything new. Just let me bring it up. And it's Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. God does not give up on us, and we cannot give up on those around us, that need to hear the love of God, the love of Jesus. And so hopefully today you're going to hear some really moving testimonies of where we've been able to get alongside people and make a difference in their lives. And you know, yeah, we do CAP, but we do lots of other ministries as well. And I just want to say to you this morning, you know, we put on the news and we hear about everything that's going on around the world with all the different wars and stuff that's going on in Israel, the cost of living crisis. It's just doom and gloom, and you can become really weary and think, how can I make a difference in all of this? Well, you can. You make a difference right here where you're at with the people around you. So don't give up. Don't get weary. Keep going and keep being filled every day with God. That wasn't part of my script, but I just felt I needed to share that with you. So I hope it's encouraged you, because it's encouraged me. Right, let me just grab a drink of my water. So if you, oh, well done, Steve, thank you. So we're going to talk about the scale of poverty in the UK this morning and what impact we're having here in Tameside. But the actual theme is compassion in action. And I believe that's the core of what we're about at this church, is compassion in action. It's about showing God's love to people out there and doing what we can to make a difference. So I want to ask you a big question. Have you ever been part of what's the biggest crowd that you've ever been part of? Maybe it was at a football match. Maybe you went to a festival or a rally or somewhere like that. A massive festival. A huge crowd of people, I think, can be quite an incredible sight. We went to a concert. We went to watch our boys last year at the MEN Arena, and there was a big band on called Kasabian. I'd never seen them before, but I was completely bowled away by the movement of people in that arena. It was, wow, I'd never seen that many people moving as one. I was like, flipping heck. But this is what we're talking about this morning. I think what I'm trying to get you to imagine is the vastness of a big crowd like that. Picture the pyramid stage at Glastonbury or a packed Wembley Stadium for a football cup final. It's a bit hard to grasp the numbers involved in these enormous gatherings. But you know, these crowds represent only a fraction of the millions of people in the UK. Here we go again. Who are currently trapped in poverty. I get emotional because it's so dear to my heart. I see it every day. I meet families every day that are struggling in poverty. With the cost of living at eye-watering levels and incomes not matching, poverty is creeping in to more and more households. In fact, 13.4 million people are living in poverty in the UK today, according to research from the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. That's enough to fill Wembley Stadium 150 times. That's a phenomenal amount of people in poverty right now. I can't even imagine that amount of people. For anyone who's never experienced it, it's easy to hear the word poverty and wonder what it actually means. CAP's Director of External Affairs, Gareth McNabb, explains poverty very simply and equally starkly. He says, poverty is when you haven't got enough income to be able to afford what you need for life. You just listen to the news and you quickly become aware of the brutal impact of poverty. It's no secret, is it, that people are having to routinely choose between having a meal or heating the water to have a wash. They simply can't afford both. CAP recently commissioned a YouGov poll to find out more about the reality of living in poverty in the UK. And according to the poll, 16 million people have been forced to skip meals recently due to cost. That's a quarter of the population. It also found that half of all adults, that's 25 million people, went without heating at some point last winter as they couldn't afford the energy costs. You may well be able to relate. We're all trying to save money where we can at the moment. But many are finding themselves in these impossible situations every day. The YouGov poll found that 6 million people, that's 1 in 11, have gone without heat on a daily basis as a result of poverty. The never-ending pressure of financial insecurity has a detrimental impact on people's mental health and well-being, and it means that even a small, unexpected cost can push them over the edge into problem debt. They're living on a knife edge. The numbers are huge, so huge that it can be hard to put them into perspective. We know God calls us, the church, to serve those in need. That's in Proverbs 3, 31, 8 to 9. But with such a vast crowd before us, it can be hard to know how to respond constructively. So, to help us consider this, I'd like to take us back a couple of thousand years to a small rural location by the Sea of Galilee, the site of a well-known miracle of Jesus, the feeding of the 5,000. So I'm going to read to you now Matthew 14, verses 31 to 21. I'm going to come down here so I can read it. Right, when Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. That's a phenomenal miracle from 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. And we're going to look at that in a bit more detail now. In this story, Jesus too is confronted by a vast crowd of people. The passage tells us there were 5,000 men besides women and children. And most scholars agree the size of the crowd could have well been in excess of 20,000 people. As we read through the Gospels, we discover that this crowd was full of people who were broken, hurting, and outcast. People searching for healing, hope, and meaning. Not really dissimilar to a large part of the UK population today. At this point, it's also worth noting that Jesus, in the middle of his earthly ministry, has just learnt of the death of his relative, John the Baptist. And so he's taking some time out by himself to grieve. So if we go to slide 4, please, Steve. So this is bringing up verses 13 and 14 again. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus noticed the crowd. People were desperate to encounter him, to receive his healing, to hear his teaching, and to experience the hope he gave. And they travelled in their masses to meet him. Jesus' response to the arrival of the vast multitude was rather remarkable. He didn't sense the coming crowd and then turn a blind eye or sneak over the top of the hill for some me time. I'm not sure if I was sitting in them shoes whether I would have been doing that. He could have been forgiven for this, couldn't he? After all, he was grieving the loss of a family member. I don't know about you, but when confronted with the crowd of people experiencing debt and poverty today, it can be tempting to turn a blind eye or to pass it off to somebody else as their problem. Jesus does neither of these things. Jesus faces the crowd, takes note of the crowd, and allows the interruption into his life. And Jesus did more than notice the crowd. He could have acknowledged their struggle and sympathized while continuing on his way, but the Bible says that he had compassion on them. This word compassion is used multiple times throughout the Gospels to describe Jesus' actions towards those who were marginalized and suffering. In Luke 7, for example, Jesus sees a widow mourning the loss of her son and is moved with compassion. He acts by raising the woman's son back to life. One way to interpret the word compassion is to say that Jesus' heart went out to them. However, the more accurate translation is more rather than this and means to be moved in the inward parts. In the society of Jesus' time on earth, compassion was said to be felt deep in a person's internal organs, in the intestines. So when Jesus saw the crowd of desperately suffering people, he was moved not with a soft feeling of sadness, but with deep, gut-wrenching compassion. In the ancient world, this attitude of deep and raw compassion was rare, and it wasn't seen as an admirable virtue. St. Augustine quoted the ancient Stoic philosopher, I don't know if I'm saying this right, Seneca, in saying that compassion is the vice of a feeble soul. In this way, as in so many others, Jesus takes the conventional beliefs of the day and he turns them upside down. When God came to live in the world as a person, Jesus, he came to enter without measure into pain and suffering of those who needed him the most. Jesus' example here is so important. As followers, As followers, we can allow his example and love to transform us. We must become those who not only notice people's pain and suffering, but who have that deep, stirring compassion on them. Like Jesus, we must see the crowd, the millions across the UK who are struggling in poverty, as a group of precious and loved individuals, each created in God's image with their own unique story to tell. And at this point, I'm going to get localized now, and I'm going to share some stories of our clients. So if you can put slide 5 up for me, please, Steve. Okay. Might have a job to read this. Actually, I don't need to read it off there. Bear with me, because I've got it on my phone. So this testimony is from a lady, Tracy, and she wanted to be here this morning and couldn't make it, but she's said, I will send through what I was going to say. And I asked basically 3 questions when I interview my clients. No, got the wrong phone. I'll have to read it off here, sorry. I need my glasses now. Technical problems, bear with. Yeah, that's better. Thank you, Gary. So, for Tracy, okay, what was it like for you being in debt? I have to say she's been brutally honest here. So, for me, being in debt was like drowning. I just couldn't seem to get my head above water. Every day, there were more red letters telling me how much I owed and the consequences of not paying them. My mobile never stopped ringing. A stranger asked me if I could borrow money from family and friends to pay off my debts. I wish. I'm an alcoholic, and all my money went on alcohol. My family only had minimal contact with me by that point, and friends had long gone. I was drinking myself to death. On the 2nd of February 2022, I was accepted into rehab with ANEW. I did 12 weeks of hard work and therapy and graduated to finally go home. ANEW put me in touch with CAP and I met the lovely Lisa. So at that point I asked, what was it like working with CAP and finally getting some help? Lisa was good enough to do home visits for me, as that saved me the anxiety and stress of going to appointments. Lisa was professional and friendly and put me at ease straight away. She explained each step of the process and let me make my own decisions. It was decided that a DRO was the way forward for me to get debt-free. The breathing space gave me just that, a relief from the letters and phone calls. What is life like now that you are debt-free? It's a time to adjust to what life is like without the madness that is debt. As of March 2024, my DRO will be fulfilled and I will truly be debt-free, thanks to Lisa and all the CAP team. I couldn't be happier with my life now. A heartfelt thanks to everyone involved. And what would you like to say to all those that support the Tameside CAP Centre? I would like to say to everyone who supports the CAP Tameside Centre, please don't stop. You saved my life and can continue to save other lives with all the support you give for this community service. Addiction and debt go hand in hand, and you have to stop the addiction to relieve you of the debt. It is only with the support that you give to services like CAP that they can offer debt-free solutions to people like me and give me my life back with my family and friends that I never thought was possible. Thank you all, Tracy. Isn't that powerful? You know, because I go out week after week, and I see these families, I can not get blasé about it. I don't mean blasé, but you can forget the impact you're having, and it's not until you read something like that that actually you understand what we're doing. And then if we can put slide 6 up, please. This should be Jodie's story, yeah. So, same questions. So Jodie says, being in debt was like being suffocated. I struggled to make ends meet and dreaded the postman coming in fear of who would be demanding money next. Lisa and the captain gave me my freedom. I could finally breathe again after all these years of being in debt. Lisa was amazing. Nothing was too much for her to help me with. And if Lisa wasn't available and I called over to head office support, they were there for me, offering support and being genuinely kind and helpful. I felt heard by Lisa and the CAP team. They didn't dismiss my anxiety and supported me through every step. Now that I'm debt-free, I feel like I've been given a fresh start in life, a clean slate. No more feelings of dread or feeling like I'm suffocating. I have my peace of mind back. I can now focus on what is important to me, which is my family. To all those who support the CAP Tameside Centre, thank you for supporting the team as you do from the bottom of my heart. Having services available in the local area like this are so, so helpful. It gives people a fresh start and the support they need to finally become debt-free. May God bless every single one of you who support the CAP Tameside Centre. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to have a new start in life. Jodie. Again, what a wonderful testimony. Two people there that this year have gone debt-free and that are starting their lives over. And just come out of that feeling of drowning. And when you go and see and sit with clients in their homes and they're in debt and unmanageable debt, that's quite often how they feel. They won't have the windows, the curtains open or the windows open. They're sat in darkness. They don't open the post. Everything just becomes too much for them. But we step in and we bring some light and we open the letters and we open the curtains and we bring some joy and we show God's love and it makes a difference. And for all of you here, you all support that service. So I go out representing each and every one of you. And I want to say thank you too for doing that, because if you didn't support this service, I couldn't do it either. Jeff, come on. Let's give Jeff a big round of applause. So Jeff is one of my clients. He's going to share his journey, what it was like being in debt. Tell us what it was like being in debt, first of all.
Well, my story was Tracy's story, exactly the same. I'd gone from a family home in the Heatons, my own business, and I was divorced 10 years ago, and then everything just went downhill. Massive drink problem. Like Tracy, I had to go into a treatment centre, and I came out of there with nothing, really. A bag of clothes and a battered guitar was pretty much all I had. I was still in the treatment centre up at Crown Point. Couldn't see a way out of it at all. I had nothing. I'd sold me good guitars to pay for booze. But I was sober. And I came here for a college course. That's where I met Steve. And I saw the posters on there and I thought, I wonder. But I was reluctant, you know. I thought, these are my debts. It's up to me to get out. But I just literally had no way out. Yeah. And then I met you.
He did. He come in, made an appointment, and we got together and we went on that journey, didn't we? And I think what you just said then was you was reluctant to ring, and a lot of our clients are reluctant to ring and seek that help. It's really hard to pick the phone up and say, I'm struggling and I need some help. It's a massive step. Once they do that and they get met with the warmth and the love, then it's easy. But it's that making that first step is really hard. So what was it like working with us as a team?
The competence was overwhelming because, you know, you deal with a lot of people in certain positions and it's all computer says no. It spoke to me in a language I understood, plain English. You told me what it could do, what we couldn't do. You mentioned it.
I think the batteries might be going. Sorry, go on.
I had a stack of envelopes that was taller than me unopened. If I didn't recognise a number on my phone, I wasn't answering it.
Yeah.
And all that changed. Once I got the, what was it, take 3 months?
Yeah.
And I got the phone call from CAP, and it was like a huge burden. You know, I was already sober, and that was like the launch pad. You know, to get me going, get me back to some semblance of a human being, you know.
And so you came debt free, and in all of that, you started coming to church as well, didn't you? You know, through these relationships with Steve and Mark and working with us, he came into church, which is great, part of the worship team now. So before I ask you what life's like now you're debt free, you've been on another journey, haven't you? And so he's just going to share about this other journey as well. Go on, Jeff.
Yeah. Some of you do know, back in June, I was diagnosed with lung cancer. It came right out of the blue. I felt fine. It was picked up on a screening program. Because of my age and because I was a smoker, I was invited to go for a CAT scan. And I wasn't going to go because I feel fine. I felt fine at the time. But they picked it up, it was the bottom of my right lung, and within 3 months I was tested top to toe, operated on, they got rid of it, and all within 3 months. I was actually with a team called the Rapid Cure Team at Withenshaw. So I had the operation in August, end of August, so it's just been, actually the recovery's been longer than it took to get the treatment, and it's just been very slow. I'm desperately trying to put weight on. I know some people might not like that idea, but I was even having cheesecake for my breakfast this morning. So I just need to get my strength back now, get some weight back on, get my strength back, and start physio tomorrow. And all is looking good. I don't need any further treatment, no radio, no chemo. I won't get the all clear for a few years, but so I've just got regular scans to go for, but as far as I know, I've lost part of my lung, small price to pay. I'm alive. And they've got it all. And I can't thank Withenshaw Hospital enough. And thanks to everyone here for all your prayers and thoughts. I was deeply, deeply touched because I'm not used to that kind of thing. And it was so genuine and authentic, and I was deeply moved. So thanks to everyone for the prayers, the thoughts. Meant a lot.
So, you're debt-free, you're cancer-free, I'm talking it over him, he's cancer-free, we're having that. So, how are you feeling now?
It's difficult, I don't know how I'm supposed to feel, you know, there's a huge relief. It was a big shock, because I had no idea. Yeah. I mean, I've smoked for a long time, but now I feel like I've got, another adventure left in me.
Brilliant.
You know, I'm only 63, and I'm still in reasonable shape, and I feel like I've got one big adventure left.
Amen.
And that's what you intend to do.
Amen. Stay, I'm going to pray for you. Wait. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, we just thank you for Jeff. We thank you for the journey that he's been on. Lord, we thank you that he's come through it and that he's stronger for it. And although he's still in recovery and still needing to get his strength back, Father, we believe you have got a plan and purpose for his life, Lord. So I pray that as he moves forward over the days and weeks and months coming, that you will really continue to speak to his heart. You'll show him the plan and purposes you've got for him and just bless him mightily, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, darling. Thank you. Isn't that good? It's great, isn't it? Just amazing. Right, let me see where I'm up to. I've got a script, but as you can see, I've changed it, and I don't know where I'm up to. Let me have a look. So, as we've heard from Tracy and Jodie and Jeff, they found hope and transformation through the compassion of the local church, that you guys, who saw their struggles and we took action. And they're just a few of the thousands and millions that are in the crowd who are in urgent need of compassion of Jesus to help fight their poverty situation. As Jesus followers, we are invited, in fact, we are called to be part of the solution today, just as he called his disciples to be part of the solution on the shores of Galilee all those years ago. Going back to Matthew 14, we see that Jesus didn't feed the people all by himself. Even though he could have done it alone, he asked his disciples to deliver the food for him. So we've got slide 7 and 8 now, please, Steve. So this is Matthew 14, 15 and 19. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." And Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. So, after a day of Jesus healing the sick, as it draws to a close, the disciples decide it's time to send the people away. They look at the situation before them, the end of a long day, the thousands of hungry people, the solitary place that they're in, and conclude actually the best thing is just to send them away so they can go and buy food for themselves. In that moment, they didn't see themselves as part of the solution. But Jesus did. He saw things differently. He sees that for those who follow him, to sit back and feed themselves is not an option. They are challenged to trust Jesus and to step out in compassionate action toward the crowd. Jesus invites them to be part of the solution, saying, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Jesus graciously challenges his disciples, empowering them to step up to the plate, to exercise faith, and to meet the immediate practical needs of the people before them. The disciples don't have much to give materially. They manage to muster only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But when they bring what little they have to the miracle work in Jesus, it becomes more than enough. Not only had his followers learned indirectly about Jesus' heart for all people, a heart that notices and that feels deep compassion, they were now being shown something extraordinary. That when they accepted Jesus' invitation to step out in faith and put his compassion into action, the miraculous happened. Jesus' heart of compassion is central to the work of Christians Against Poverty. For 27 years, CAP has been committed to noticing the multitude of people crushed under the weight of debt and poverty. They've allowed themselves to be moved with deep compassion, compelled to act in faith, to fight back and to bring the transformative hope of Jesus in people's most challenging times. CAP wants to see transformed lives, thriving churches and an end to UK poverty. A vision that can only be realised by stepping out in faith and putting Jesus' compassion into action. Can you put slide 9 up for me, please, Steve? CAP wants to see people across the UK released from poverty, living with faith in Jesus and hope for their future. And one way they do this is by partnering with a local church, like this one, to provide face-to-face holistic debt help. A team from the church visits people in their community who are trapped in unmanageable debt and compassionately walk beside them throughout their journey out of debt. This might include providing emotional support, helping them to gather and understand their debt paperwork, and responding to immediate practical needs, such as delivering emergency food shops and vouchers. Them stats up there for the national, so we've got 9,168 people were supported on their journey out of debt by CAP in 2022. 1,946 clients became debt-free, and 874 churches are involved in tackling poverty in their local community through a partnership with CAP, which are fantastic numbers. But I wanted to share some of our stats as well. So I've put a slide up, here we go. Let me get my gigs back on. I can't see without these. So these are our stats. So for 2023, and remember, we're only in October, aren't we? So far, we've seen 12 families go debt-free. Can I hear that? Yeah. We've visited 26 new families and offered support. Now, this is just me. This isn't Alan, based over in Holy Trinity in Stalybridge. He's got his own stats. These are just for me here at this church. Funded numerous food shops, we've done numerous energy meter top-ups, and we even paid for a bus pass so a child could get over to school. We've helped raise 10 £90 DRO fees for our clients through Acts 435. We've organised stair and bedroom carpet for a client who moved into a new home after 2 years of sofa surfing and sleeping in their car. This year he finally got a new home and we was able to get carpet sorted for his stairs and bedrooms. Just brilliant. That's through Acts 435 again. We've helped another family in danger of having their house repossessed to get it on the market and sold through a local Christian estate agent. We've helped source and supply baby clothing and items through Cascade Baby Bundles for a family expecting twins. We've prayed with all our clients and covered many of our clients' needs in prayer through our church prayer chain. And we're currently raising funds so all our clients will get Aldi vouchers this Christmas. I think what I wanted to demonstrate there, we're talking about CAP and the debt service, but it's always so much more. There's always more than just the debt. There's always more needs. And, you know, it's important for us as a church that we work in partnership with lots of other great charities out there and just get alongside our clients and help them wherever we can. And so Acts 435 is an amazing charity, and we're an advocate for them in our church. And they basically, it's a bit like a crowdfunding charity. So if someone's got a need for less than £150, we can put that need to them and then people can donate to it. And I have never yet had a request denied or not fulfilled. So, you know, if you know any families that have got small needs, maybe they need, I don't know, a new Hoover or the washing machine's broken down, and they haven't got the money there, come and speak to us, because there is places that we can go to get help with things like that. Meanwhile, while we're doing all this, over at head office, a team of highly qualified debt advisors based in Bradford negotiating with creditors on behalf of the clients and drawing up a budget, enabling them to walk free from debt. And since 2010, CAP has seen more than 20,000 people become debt-free because of a local ordinary Christians putting Jesus' compassion into action. CAP head office couldn't do what they do without us doing what we do here and all the other centres across the UK. As we've heard from our clients and Melinda in the video sharing so powerfully, each client helped through CAP has a thriving local church walking alongside them, actively serving them and bringing them the hope of Jesus. As clients see the love of Jesus demonstrated through the compassionate action of their local church, many of themselves have come to know him as their personal saviour. Can you put slide 11 up for me, please, Steve? So this is my team, and most of them are not in actually today. So I've got, so if you, if I shout your name out and you're one of these, stand up. I think there's only Keith here. Andy, Irene, Jules, Julie, Karen, Keith, Lynn, Mike and Tracy. I think there's only you here, Keith, this morning. Stand up. So we're going to give Keith a round of applause and all these that are not here. But while we're clapping, I want you all to give yourself a big round of applause as well for the support that you continue to give us as a centre. Please. Thank you, Keith. Okay. So let's return one final time to Matthew 14. The story finishes with the crowd fed and 12 basketfuls of broken pieces left over. Jesus brings abundance in this solitary place. The crowd was left amazed. John's account tells us that in this moment they realized Jesus was the prophet they had been expecting. I believe that God is still working today to meet practical needs and bring hope of Jesus to those who need it. And I believe he's still using his people to do so. Right now in the UK, poverty appears to be winning. But we can play our part in fighting back. And we can fight in the same way that Jesus did, with gut-wrenching compassion that causes us to act with abundant generosity. As we consider Jesus' compassion and how his disciples responded to his challenge to feed the crowd, may we be moved with the same compassion for the multitude before us. May we accept Jesus' challenging invitation to act as his disciples did that day, trusting that when we respond in faith, Jesus has the power to work miracles. One way that you can respond with compassionate action today is by giving a one-off final donation to CAP, and there's leaflets and envelopes on your seats. If you want to give a one-off donation, please use the envelopes, but don't feel you have to. You know, we're not about forcing this on anybody. We're just saying if you feel moved from what you've heard today and you want to make a one-off donation to CAP, then use the envelopes. It might be you prefer to give to the centre locally here. And one of the ways that you can really help at the moment is by giving to the Christmas appeal, because all that money raised there will go to buy the Aldi vouchers, not only for our CAP clients, but all the other families that we're working with across our ministries. Whichever way you want to do, if you feel moved, then you know, please either put it in the offering or use the envelopes. When Melinda picked up the phone to call CAP's helpline, she was greeted by a warm and friendly team who arranged that first home visit with Peter, Melinda's local debt coach. From then on, she was on a journey towards becoming debt-free, and she was welcomed into a local church community along the way. A gift of £12 will enable CAP to answer 6 helpline phone calls from people in their lowest moment. CAP will listen to them, reassure them, and book in their first appointment with a local debt coach, the first step on a journey towards a debt-free, hope-filled future. Thank you once again for your support and for choosing to put Jesus' outrageous and generous compassion into action. And I just want to finish by saying again that I couldn't do this without your encouragement and your support. It's a team effort, and I'm going to keep going. We're not going to stop doing CAP. We're going to carry on, and we're going to push forward, and we're going to look at doing things in a new way. I'm training up this year to be a CAP money coach, which will enable me to do one-to-one CAP money coaching with our clients when they go debt-free. And they're going debt-free very quickly now, within the space of maybe 2 months. And so we don't have time to work with them, and yet I just don't feel we can walk away. And so I'm going to train up, I'm going to do something different, and we're going to alter the way we work so we can keep on going and then we can make a difference in people's lives. I hope it's encouraged you. It's encouraged me sharing this morning. And I just want to finish with a prayer, if I may. Father, thank you for the example of your son, Jesus. Thank you for his deep compassion on the crowd of people he met on the shores of Galilee, and how you invite us to put that same compassion into action today. We pray that we, your church, would respond in faith to your calling to meet the practical needs of those suffering in debt and poverty around us. We ask that we would be transformed by Jesus' love and example. As we are, may we act in faith to see precious individuals in our communities freed from poverty and transformed by the incredible, compassionate love of Jesus. Amen. Amen.